Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 303-713-7600. Jay's away this week. I'm filling in for him. We have Colonel Ann Wright coming on to talk to us about sexual assault in the military and why they don't seem to want to take a look at it at all. Women have been allegedly committing suicide. Victims of rape have been allegedly committing suicide, but their deaths don't pass scrutiny. So we're going to talk about that, as well as check in with Media Matters to see about the way the media has been portraying this 2008 election, which has a number of sins to talk about. This hour, though, one of my passions of late, and always has been, as it ebbs and wanes as a topic in our conversation, is the energy crisis. You know, it's if you ever lined up at the pump in the 70s, you know how nasty that could be. And you know, former President Jimmy Carter has been taking such a bad rap, as has Governor Jerry Brown of California, both who came up in the 60s and 70s. And as Jimmy Carter presciently warned us in 1977, with the exception of preventing war, this is the greatest challenge our country will face during our lifetime. Now, that was quoted by columnist Bob Herbert in the New York Times today. And I think it bears discussing a bit in terms of why efficiency and conservation is sneered at so thoroughly by many on the right. And I don't understand why they sneer at it. Maybe they think it's not sexy. Keith Olbermann addressed it last night on MSNBC because lately they're making fun of Obama because one of his response to the tirade of ads that have been launched against him has been to encourage and welcome conservation in terms of energy and getting our energy crisis resolved. Well, you know what? The American people have done this. That's why oil prices are dropping. In part, is because Americans have stopped driving so much. We have begun to limit our trips. I know I have. You probably have. And do I inflate my tires? Do I have two tire gauges? Yes, I do. And you can make fun of me all you like, but inflating your tires to the proper pressure actually does help you save energy, and it does increase and preserve your mileage. You know, I have a 12-year-old car that still gets the same gas mileage now. Why? Because I put stuff in it now, thanks to my brother-in-law, to clean the engine. I get regular oil changes. I also inflate the tires. I take good care of my car. I keep it tuned up. Guess what? It's still running well. It lives in a water-laden area, and it's not even rusty. 303-713-7600. Here's my problem with this whole making fun. Oh, you know, actually, the McCain campaign issued, and you can buy one for $25 on their website. You can go and buy a tire gauge because they're making so much fun of Obama that they're actually ridiculing his idea to keep your tire pressure inflated. Well, as Keith Olbermann figured it out, and I hope I'm quoting it correctly, if you inflate your tires, tune your car, you will save more energy and much more money than you'll ever save from any kind of offshore drilling that you would take you 4 years to get. Okay, so all this hoopla, oh, let's have offshore drilling, let's do it now, let's make our country a pincushion of oil wells, let's do it now, is stupid. But you know, conservation isn't sexy. My dad was actually a member of the Conservation Corps. I mean, of the, I can't remember exactly what it was called. But the whole point is, because he grew up in the Dust Bowl and was frightened, because the first time my father saw rain was when he was 8 years old. He actually ran home from the nun park screaming and yelling. He went down to the basement. He was hysterical. My grandmother chased him and said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "The world is ending. The world is ending. The sky is blowing up. I don't understand." And they realized he was 8 years old and he had never seen a thunderstorm. So as you look at the thunderstorms across your skies this afternoon and give us a break from the heat at 88 degrees, think about my father, the son of a farmer and a wheat grain elevator operator, running home in a panic from a pocket park in Nunn, Colorado, because he had never seen rain before. And you'll understand why my father thought that conservation was so crucial and so critical. I mean, One of my earliest memories is planting trees. We planted one every Arbor Day. We did. And the first thing I did when I bought my first house is I gave a check to the Arbor Day Foundation, and I got 10 little trees, and two of them are now 12 feet high in my backyard. I planted them at the wrong time of year. I was kind of ignorant, and eight of them bit it. But two of them made it, and they're lovely trees. They're named for my nephews. And they're lovely trees. They're gorgeous, and they hold the soil of my house. And that's important, you see. I know it's easy. It's fun to laugh at efficiency, the hidden way to solve our energy crisis. But that is what was the message delivered at a joint economic committee last week. Now, as Bob Herbert notes, Governor Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam, as he was ridiculed as by the right, may not have been, was a favorite pincushion of the right. But you know what? Hard to believe, because of his far-reaching efficiency and conservation measures, guess which state, if you strip out automobiles, guess which state has the lowest carbon footprint? Guess what? It's California. It's not sexy, but if and Governor Schwarzenegger has made a big deal of conservation, but nobody laughs at him because you would be a girly man if you did. You know, the problem is that, you know, if you take automobiles out of the picture, the state of California has the lowest per capita consumption of any state of energy. Now, that's amazing. But that's because when he was a governor, Jerry Brown put in place far-reaching efficiency and conservation measures that stand it in good stead to this day. That's why xeriscaping, which has taken off so hugely in Colorado, is so near and dear to my heart. Why should you waste water, which is a premium in Colorado always, when you can plant native drought-tolerant plants that'll grow just fine with 10 to 20 inches of water a year? Why wouldn't you want to do that? It's 303-713-7600. I'd love to hear from you. Why is it that they are ridiculing this so much? Because let me tell you something. If you tune your car, if you check your tire gauge, no less than NASCAR thinks it's a smart thing to do. But the right-wingers are going to try to make Obama out to be an elite effete who just thinks, oh, making a little lifestyle change will change things. Well, according to Keith's estimate, 800,000 barrels of oil, we could save quite a bit. Quite a bit with an 89-cent tire gauge. I don't know where he's buying his tire gauges for 89 cents, because I've seen them for a couple of bucks at my auto store. But and the other thing is, I always hear the car guys talk about digital ones are better. So if anybody's listening who happens to be an auto mechanic, which is better, regular or digital? Because I'm happy to upgrade to a digital. I like having tire gauges, actually. And I like checking my tire pressure. And by the way, I have become very fond of nitrogen in my tires because you don't have to fill them up as much. I don't know if you've tried that, but I had to buy new tires. My car has such low mileage on it that my tires actually got so old they started to flake before they wore out. So I had to replace them anyway. By the way, if your tires are 10 or more years old, like mine were, take them to the guy and have them checked out, because mine were so old. I said to him, I said, but they're not worn. See, Lincoln's head still shows. They're fine. And he goes, watch this. And he takes his fingernail and he flicks my tire and the rubber just comes flying off. And I was like, whoa. He goes, honey, your tires are so old that, And I went, okay, I'm convinced. We'll replace them. I'll spend the $500. So I bought new tires. And when I bought new tires at Costco, of course, I found out that if you fill them with nitrogen, which I guess Costco is fond of doing, you have to fill them much less. You literally can go in every month and have it checked. And they're always, mine are still 32 PSI. And I know stuff like that, because I like to save energy. I actually drove to work this morning driving 55 instead of the 60 I could have gone with the highway so clear this morning, because I've started driving 55. And if you're behind me and you're mad at me, oh well. But I want to drive 55. Why? Because your mileage is so much better at 55 miles per hour as it is at 60 miles per hour. They've actually even done studies that shows that maybe even driving slower, especially through major cities, actually saves and conserves on traffic snarl-ups too. because people aren't going stop and go, stop and go. Now, we need more fuel-efficient vehicles, but that's one reason why Obama's getting some slack on his change in idea of being able to go along with the gang of 10 in Congress who are talking about different ways to save energy as well as make investments in the infrastructure to create new forms of alternative energy. And you know what? If you think it's funny and it doesn't work, you know, taking public transportation, using more efficient lighting, dropping the thermostat a couple of degrees, as Herbert notes, buying more efficient appliances, unplugging appliances we're not in use, I'll report back to you when next I fill in. But I've started getting rid of the phantom power in my house. I heard from Sustainable Dave that you could turn off the phantom power like your computers. I never turn them all the way off. I just shut them down. But apparently they use phantom power. So if you shut them all the way down, it's a bit of a pain in the ass because you have to wait for everything and then you have to remember to turn on your printer too because my power strips are different. But if you do that, apparently you'll save 20% of your energy. Now, I've actually keeping track of my carbon emissions because I signed up. I'm a geek. I signed up for the Sierra Club 2% reduction. And you know what? I'm saving energy. I have carbon fluorescence. I have water governors on my water. And you know what? I've saved about 25% on my electricity and my water bills over the past few years as I have replaced everything with, you know, low flush toilets, all that stuff. And you can find ones that work. I happen to have a Toto, which works fine. You know, you just have to do some research. And I like this stuff. I like being green. It makes me feel like I am my family's daughter. My mother was into it too. And thank goodness, because this is really going to work. I know it's not sexy, but what methods are you taking? And why are they making fun of Obama with the tire gauges? Oh, look at him with his tire gauges. Does he really think that's going to work? How naive. No, actually, how sensible, sane, smart, and intelligent it is to encourage efficiency. What do you think? 303-713-7600. How are you conserving in your house? Has it lowered your electricity, your water bills, your utility bills? It certainly did with mine. And let me tell you something. I don't water those poor little trees. They're growing just fine with the water they have because they're native to the state of Washington. 303-713-7600. How about you? How are you saving water? How are you conserving? I let my lawn die in the summer. I could give a damn about having a green lawn if it means I'm not using up, say, the water that might be able to go somewhere else to do more good. 303-713-7600. How are you conserving and why are the Republicans making fun of it? And why isn't it more fashionable to talk about? 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the J. Marvin Show. And stand by for traffic, progressive traffic, that would be with John Turk. Good morning. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 7:24. We're going to be checking in with Colonel Ann Wright. Don't forget that. And we're also going to be talking to you about why are the Republican, the whole attack machine is now sneering at the idea. It kind of makes me want to carry a tire gauge around in my pocket. Okay, not maybe that far. But, you know, conservation works. Hello, I'm saving money. And you know what? Up here, we're talking about a 40% increase in electrical and gas rates. And if they're going to raise my utility charges 40%, you're damn tootin', I'm going to put in some conservation methods. I don't like paying. Maria in Fort Collins, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk and the J. Marvin Show. Hi.
Good morning, Maria. I'm referring to your show about your hate against on bikers yesterday.
Oh yes,
I think your comments on conservation now are kind of hypocritical.
Really? Why?
Well, think of all the bikers that could be sitting in cars on the road. Not-
oh yes. Oh no, bikers are doing their bit to conserve for the environment, and they're great. I have to confess, though, some of them do try to cut me off, and I've seen a lot
okay,
of them flaunt them off.
Okay, how many times have cut you off? How many times have you been cut off by cars? Ever?
Yes, often.
Okay,
absolutely.
And how many deaths have bikers caused?
Actually, up here, they just got charged with assault and battery because they hit a kid with a bike lock.
I heard that, but mm-hmm. how many bikers have been run over by cars.
Oh, probably way too many, ma'am, and that's a tragedy and sad. And I did promise yesterday to watch out for bikers and see how they were, you know, to be better, because I did confess that it was a failing of mine. I never painted it as if it was a wonderful thing that I did, so that I harbored resentment for lawless bikers in my heart, okay?
Well,
I didn't try to paint myself as being wonderful for doing that, but be that as it may, I did watch out, and one woman stopped for me and was very nice, and I waved to her, and she waved back. She was a good biker, and another one cut off in front of me and almost hit a person on the sidewalk.
Happens, and this happens with cars.
Right.
But bikers are not emitting carbon monoxide if they're not following.
Well, except when they exhale,
most
they bike.
Do
you're right.
Follow the rules, and the hate that came spewing out of you.
Out of me?
Yes.
I don't think I was hateful. I don't.
Hate bikers. One caller said he's trying to run down every biker, and you giggled at that.
And you didn't think he was kidding? Because I thought he was exaggerating and kidding. He also said he lived in a dumpster in Boulder.
What kind of a hate show is that?
Ah, I see.
These are people that are trying to conserve up here, and for Collins, there more and more people commute to work. That's conservation. And your tirade yesterday fits on a right-wing hate show, not on a progressive show.
Well, you know what? Progressives can have sense of humors, and progressives can make fun of things. Actually, there was. There was clearly humorous.
I hate bikers.
It was clearly humorous, ma'am. I'm sorry you didn't get the joke. But if you didn't get the joke, that's fine.
No,
I understand.
I didn't. You need to correct it.
I think you're humor impaired. And I feel sorry for you, but that's okay.
Oh, don't feel sorry for me because
it's okay.
I'm fine.
Okay.
You don't need to.
It's fine. If you have the opinion you have, I feel sorry that you were offended.
Said.
Okay.
A microphone, then you need to.
We'll have to agree to differ. Ma'am, I couched it. I'm not going to go back and explain the whole thing, but basically, it clearly that I was kidding. Chet from Boulder is.
I listened to the whole show.
Yeah.
And anyway, I think it was maybe to stir up a little controversy and get more callers.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure,
but that's what my job is as a talk radio host. I'm supposed to provoke and poke and annoy. And apparently it worked.
Yeah, it sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I called you because I really felt it was not proper for a progressive.
Well, progressives aren't always proper, ma'am, and sometimes they have a sense of humor. I plead guilty.
Sometimes they do. This time,
I plead guilty to having a sense of humor. Definitely.
Yes, you can use that excuse.
It's not an excuse. It's true. But thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. You're welcome to disagree with me, by the way. Obviously, and she really doesn't get the joke. She doesn't. I clearly couched it that, you know, I was horrified by critical mass. And, you know, look, I am. But on the other hand, do I really think bikers are all bad? I think anybody who listens to me for 5 minutes knows that I wouldn't think that. I clearly couched it in. Everybody has a weak spot. And everybody does. You know what? Maria has very little sense of humor on this subject. Now, you can either think of that as a weakness or a strength. That's your business. But, by the way, yesterday we did go off on a tirade against bikers. And, by the way, the calls by bikers who went off against drivers who were bad and awful and hit them outnumbered the ones from people who, and that was because we allowed them all to comment. 303-713-7600, Deb in Loveland, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm so confused because I could actually comment on both.
Okay.
I did call to comment on why I believe the Republicans are attacking the conservation issue.
Okay.
Because I think that they're very, very good at taking the strength someone has and turning it into a weakness.
Yes.
It's like what they did to John Kerry with the Purple Heart,
yes.
Making that a big joke and wearing it and belittling everyone with a Purple Heart. I think that there's been a big, huge advertising campaign starting from probably the 60s where consumption was the good thing, disposing of things and having more things. And the more you could waste, the more prosperous you were.
The me decade.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it's really unfortunate that people don't understand that they have been sold this idea that if they use a lot and eat a lot and drive a big and do those types of things, but that means they're good consuming Americans. So I think that there's been a real switch in the way things are sold. And that's what I think it is. They're just taking that belief.
Yeah, I think they're taking the strength that he's smart and savvy, and they're trying to attack him for that. They're taking they're attacking him because he's charismatic and he can engender mass support by trying to make fun of him as the Messiah
Exactly, and those are his strengths.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Whatever anyone we put out there, that is the way they do it. They take those, and then they did it to John McCain, which is really surprising to me. They ripped him apart when he went against Bush and said terrible things about him and did terrible smear campaigns over the phone and spread awful rumors about him. That he would do the same thing to me is just totally disgusting. Because at one point I thought, you know, it's really too bad he's not a Democrat because I would vote for him. And now I can't believe that ever even crossed my mind when I look at this person.
Yeah, I've looked at his record on women. And by the way, he's voted against alternative energy several dozen times. So the fact that he's trying to tack to the middle now and say, ooh, I like alternative energy. I want wind. I want all this stuff.
Right.
Wrong, hypocritical, sad,
but
bad.
Can I make a real quick comment on the biking?
Go ahead.
Okay. My husband is an avid biker. I don't bike myself, but I'm very fearful of him going out there. And I think the lady in Fort Collins is speaking out of a real fear because there was a guy who actually just hit somebody because he was ticked off at bikers. And I think that there's been a lot...
Well, that's clearly wrong.
In our area, the Loveland and Fort Collins area, we have I don't know if you ever go on Craigslist, but there's like this rant and rave section. And before that person was hit, there were just days and days and days of people ranting on about that very thing, about hating bikers so much that they, you know, should just run them over, and then this happened. So I think
what sparked my discussion, however, was bikers bragging that they actively flaunt the law in order to teach drivers a lesson, which I think is remarkably stupid.
If you think you can beat
a 3-ton piece of metal, I know. I tried to set it up and saying, look, I feel guilty about this. I don't like not liking bikers because I applaud their efforts to save energy, although I don't understand driving in people's exhaust. You know, I couched it with being troubled by it in a kind of a humorous way because I don't really hate bikers, Debbie.
Well, and I understand that, but I actually turned it off when I found out when you said that. I turned it off because it's a fear of mine that somebody may hurt my husband. You know, it's just a real fear, and he's very conscientious on the road, I have to say. He does have horror stories with cars and things like that. I think it can go either way, but in her defense, I think this area is very hypersensitive to it just because of that incident.
Which is what makes it a good topic to talk about, I think.
I suppose. It's just,
because if you hadn't overcome your fear and been willing to talk to me, you wouldn't have been able to give me a different angle to look at it. I probably won't change my sense of humor, and I probably won't change,
And I wouldn't
But on the other hand,
I'm fine with it.
I will also bend over backwards to make it clearer and incorporate your point of view into the way I talk about it. And that's valuable.
Well, thank you.
You see what I mean?
And another good thing about biking is I can bounce a quarter off my husband's bum. So there you go.
Well, that's always useful. Thank you very much for your call. It's 17. We never would have learned that either. 7:39 is. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Wow. Okay, we can revisit the biker topic always. If I annoy you, make you feel controversial, if you're angry at me, as Maria clearly is, go ahead to wail on it. But I stand by my statement that bikers who are lawless are annoying. And you know, it wasn't me who called them Republicans. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're Republicans. Someone said that they're Republicans because they're smug and other things. But, you know, I laughed. I did. It was funny. Can we make fun of ourselves? Are we so distant from things we can't make fun of ourselves? I mean, I was making fun of Justin Schaefer, too, and his campaign manager. I mean... Can't we have fun? We can't, I guess. We have to be terribly serious all the time because we're progressives. Well, look another way if that's the truth, because I'm frequently not serious in terms of being lighthearted. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Besides, humor is the best way to get serious points across, by the by. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on Colorado's Progressive Talk for J. Marvin. Stand by for traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Erin Hart. I'm filling in for J. Marvin, stirring things up on AM 760 Progressive Talk. One thing you'll always get from me is straight talk. If I have a flaw, it's that, you know, I will tell you that I get annoyed by bikers rather than try to be politically correct and say, bikers are lovely. They're all smart. You know, I'm not going to do that. And drivers can be jerks, too. I ran into two of them on the way home as well. And yes, Maria, proportionally speaking, I'd say drivers are much more insane, generally speaking, than bikers are. But part of the reason I picked on them was because they were sanctimonious and silly. And they assaulted a driver. So, you know, and part of the reason they do is because drivers also commit huge sins against bikers. So there. All right, we're talking about energy conservation as well. I do want to talk to you about, I do want to mention one thing, because I do try to salute the administration when possible. After 30 years, we've finally passed a better consumer protection law because we had to remove I think it was 30 million toys from our shelves that due to lead paint, small magnets that children can swallow. Why did we let it get to that level first would be a question. But the good news is that we're rectifying it. Finally, the Consumer Product Safety Administration will be beefed up thanks to a bipartisan law that passed by huge, overwhelming margins in both the House and the Senate. Good. Finally. Yay. Something we can all agree on. Let's not kill our kids with toys. Good. 303-713-7600. Jonas in Denver. Welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you for joining us. Jonas?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, I'm actually a female, but go ahead.
Okay, this is Jonas from Denver. I'm just wondering, John McKee is consistent in taking both sides of the major issue. So it is hard to know where he stands on the issue. And the other thing is he keeps saying he know how to win the war. I don't know which war he won. I know he lost the war in Vietnam. So
you know, that's a very interesting point. I brought that up yesterday, is what war has he won? And you know, no less than the Wall Street Journal's editorial page, I believe Daniel Ettinger said that his spin on taxes, where he said no new taxes, and then he told George Stephanopoulos on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, everything's on the table for Social Security. He goes, well, that means you could raise taxes, right? And he goes, everything's on the table, which means he would raise taxes. And then Daniel Ettinger said that that was such a spin and a change of mind that he likened it to a sex change operation.
It is really hard to know where he stands on the issue. He's taking both sides of the issue, so he's very consistently taking both sides of the issue. So.
Yes, he very consistently tacks in the wind. It's a definite political syndrome this time of year in a general election. But John McCain has been breathtaking in his ability to change his mind. I agree, Jonas. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I want to talk to you about something else, too, and maybe we'll get into this tomorrow, too. Check out Denver Police Brace for Convention. They're predicting there'll be massive militant protest groups in Denver. Is that really true, Harry and Alt? Do you think there'll be massive protests in Denver?
I don't know. I can't. I've been reading Denver Post because I'm right up here at Alt, so I can't tell you. I know they're doing their best to control it.
Yeah, they are.
Thanks for taking my call this morning, by the way.
You're welcome, Harry. I used to ride through Alt with my family, and we'd ride through Alt, and then we knew to look for the water tower, because when we were going home, we'd always go, I see the water tower. We got close to home.
I have a correction for yesterday on ethanol gas. And the algae the gentleman was talking about?
Oh, sure.
You get 2.6 to 2.8 gallons per bushel of ethanol, not 18 per acre. 2.6 to 2.8 gallons per ethanol, or per bushel of ethanol, and 17 pounds of high protein that's fed to the livestock.
You mean out of corn?
Mm-hmm, out of corn, yes.
But don't you think it's more efficient to grow switchgrass or something?
I don't know, because I don't know the figures put together on that, but right now, this is what you've got. Now, I talked to a friend of mine that has stock in biodiesel and ethanol in Illinois. I called him to get this correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an article from the Wisconsin Farmer. I get that, too, from the Agri-News. They were saying it was $1.10 you save on a gallon of gas by using ethanol. Otherwise, it would cost you $1.10 more if you didn't use ethanol at all.
Well, we know it's cleaner in Colorado for our air quality, definitely.
Yes, right. And only 8% of the corn is used for ethanol, 8%.
And the rest is used for feed and recycling?
Yeah, corn oil, whatever. Because I worked in a plant in Chicago and with corn products. And I made corn oil, I made sugar, I made the fructose that your, or the IV solution.
Yeah, that stuff's not good for you, though.
Well, at that time, you know, that's what they were using it to carry.
Oh, I know.
10, 12 years ago.
That's why we're so fat. But anyway.
You just got to work harder outside, that's all.
Oh, I work pretty hard outside, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah, okay. That's
all right.
I just wanted to correct that because it's 2.6 to 2.8 gallons per bushel of corn that you get for ethanol. And they recycle the water, too. The newer plants coming online are a lot more efficient than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago.
All righty. Thanks, Harry.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, sir. And by the way, that was I still have yet to look up that article on algae. We're trying to do some environmental stories this week, and we have Dr. Daniel Nocera on tap. We think we're going to get him to talk about the new solar energy developments that was reported in Science magazine. And I'm going to still remain a conservationist and an energy efficient, even if I do make fun of bikers. Lee in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty swell.
Hey, I heard that. The thing I wanted to talk about was bicycles and the fact that I was listening to Tom Hartman because I am an AM 760 fan, and Tom Hartman is one of my favorite people. And he's in Scandinavia somewhere. And, you know, I really feel like the United States really needs to get in the 21st century.
Denmark, yeah.
And by the time we need to accommodate traffic that causes less pollution, and it needs to become a priority. In that country, he described roads that were built in such a way that they accommodated bicycles. Like they had a raised portion in the center of the road to accommodate bike traffic because 30% of their population gets to work by bike.
Which is much better if you had a raised. Ooh, raised is great.
Yeah,
I missed that show.
Let's get with the 21st century. Let's put people to work. Let's put people to work creating bicycle traffic on the road, share with the cars bicycle traffic so that we can reduce our energy consumption.
Well,
in
the
this
best
country.
Roads, the best roads here are the ones that have bike lanes. You know, those I don't mind at all. I think where we get into trouble is when we have to share our space.
And yeah, but you know, the bike lanes are kind of dangerous too. I really like that idea
of raising them, a raised area
Love to accommodate that. Bike traffic and keep it safe. And therefore, you're accommodating on these roads, and you're making the roads, cars share the road with other forms of transport. That could also be used for mopeds and every other thing. If you had raised areas in the center of the road that accommodated that kind of traffic,
sure, bridges would do that. You know,
hello, let's get with it. You know, I mean, it's like we got to accommodate all kinds of traffic that reduces air pollution, and that's all I have.
No, thank you very much,
uh-huh.
and amen to that. Thank you so much, Lee.
Bye.
I appreciate it. You know,
bye.
She has such a very good point here, because if you raised it, I missed that Tom Hartman show, and I listened to him pretty religiously, so I'm surprised I didn't hear it. But I'm really glad to hear that, because raised bicycle paths sound great to me. I mean, there are, come to think of it, some segregated lanes here on bridges and such, which are great, because then the bikers can go as fast as they want or as quickly as they want. They don't get stuck half the time. As much as cars do on the bridges, and good for them. They shouldn't, because they're using a more efficient mode of transportation. As long as I was going to take the Mickey out of them, I'll say what's good about them too. And it is, they are very non-polluting. But it is I think it's crucial for the safety of both parties and pedestrians, too. I mean, I don't think there's an accident there, but there are pedestrian walkways over highways because with, you know, and there are several of those here, too, because you could not cross some of the major thoroughfares here without them. They exist in Denver, too. I remember reading one about the new mall where they had to have a pedestrian walkway or you wouldn't have been able to get at it. So I think that's really important, too. 303-713-7600. I would love to talk to you. Lee in Denver, Len in Denver. Larry in Denver. Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Larry.
Hi. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I was just driving my wife to work, and I had the end, tail end of your comments regarding bikers.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what all your comments were, but they were predominantly negative somewhat.
I made fun of bikers saying that they were bragging that they cut people off, that they ran stoplights, that three of them tried to kill me, cutting me off and turning in front of me.
Well, most...
And it's true.
I'm sure that it probably is. I just want to make the comment, though, that bikers as a group and mass are not monolithic. There's a demographic among bikers. The ones probably you're referring to are the HD set, the hardly dangerous, you know, Harley Davidson types of guys. They ride the V-twins. These are the types of individuals you're probably referring to. Most of them tend to run in packs. They have...
They're actually called critical mass. They have a group.
Oh, is that the group?
Yeah.
These are the bikers, generally the Harley Davidson type guys that have attitude problems.
Well, these aren't bikes like motorbikes. These were like cyclists. Cyclists.
No, I thought you were referring.
I was referring to bicyclists who, up here there was a very big showdown between, and then the driver was at fault too. He basically got nervous. They rocked his car. They tried to turn it over. He was frightened. He tried to gun his car and get away from them. And he tacoed one of their tires and apparently grazed a couple of them, and one of them jumped on top of his car. Long story short, they broke his rear windshield, they dented his car, they flattened his tire, they knifed his tires, they hit him on the head with the bike lock.
Well, that again is another issue altogether, but my wife would concur with your thoughts regarding those guys, because she and her friend generally like to jog in Washington Park. And they've been forced to abandon that park because of bicyclers with similar attitudes. It won't allow pedestrian traffic hardly. I almost ran them down a couple of times. So they've abandoned jogging in that park altogether because of the bicyclers.
Well, see, and here, and in a big park here, we have two lanes, one for people on wheels, you know, skateboards and skaters and bicyclists. And then there are the walkers, which include moms pushing baby carriages and dads pushing baby carriages. And I like that separation because then, you know, and you know to look both ways when you're crossing the bicycle type of the lane, and then everybody has room. And I think that's a good idea, too. Maybe we should make special lanes. Thank you so much. I do have to jump to a break, though. I thank you for calling, Larry. It's 7:51. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 303-713-7600. Time for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Some listeners were mad at me about the biker stuff. Oh, who cares? Who cares? Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. I don't know if you're still mad at me about the biker stuff. You might be, and that's certainly fine. Look, I'm a talk show host. I'm supposed to provoke you. I'm supposed to poke and prod. And you know what? I'm that kind of person. So I come by the job naturally. And speaking of provoking and prodding, many people don't believe that women belong in the military. For an example, I have had many a discussion, although that's getting better now that women are fighting and dying in Iraq, sadly. But I mean, sadly that they're dying, not sadly that they're fighting, because I believe personally that women should be able to enter into combat in the military. If you're going to ask us to go into combat zones, especially in insurgency kinds of situations, then women, deserve the same treatment and protection. However, men and women never, ever, 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 under any circumstances whatsoever, deserve to be sexually assaulted. But that's apparently in the military's culture currently. We certainly remember the scandals coming out of the Air Force Academy. So I'm looking forward to our discussion with Colonel Ann Wright coming up on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And thank you, John Turk, for booking her, because I think it's key and crucial that we talk about this. This is more of the issue-oriented talk. And see, that's the thing with talk radio. You never know. You know, something that might annoy me, you may think is absolutely fine, as in biking, for example. And Deb really brought me up short thinking about, ooh, if my husband biked, would I be afraid for him? Yeah, that's part of the reason I don't bike, is because of the lawlessness of drivers. I have never knowingly cut off a biker or hurt them, though. Just let me state that clearly, nor would I. And if they provoke me, I just run away. 303-713-7600. Let's talk to Colonel Ann Wright coming up on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Martin.